Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you today. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church. And for those who may be listening, those that are here today, I was really stirred to title our message today, Sea Legs. S-E-A-L-E-G-S, Sea Legs. And it is about training. It's about faith in God, no matter the circumstances, and no matter what we find ourselves doing or in. You all have been in my heart. I think the church in general, the Lord's church on this earth, have been on my heart because I know you go through trials. I know I do. It could usually daily. Trials within, trials without, trials mentally, trials spiritually, trials physically. We all are and will continue to go through things. But the Lord does train us. I believe, and it's true, He trains us by degrees. Let's do this, and then after that, and you learn that, then we'll learn something else. Just like all the way from preschool to kindergarten to first grade to 12th grade to getting your college degree to graduate school to doctorate and then continuing ed. God trains us by degrees. How many of you know that if you don't learn your lesson in one particular situation, believe me, you'll come around, maybe the circle, but it'll come back to you again until you learn it. You have to learn some basics before you get into algebra as far as math, and then, you know, trigonometry and geometry and calculus and all, and on so on. But you have to learn the basics first in order to put the foundation has to be there before you go on. So the Lord trains us by degrees. Boy, I'm telling you, I remember our own children. You talk about training by degrees and learning to read and learning to read, you know, the phonics. You pronounce the letter and then you get the letters together and then you pronounce them all together and to learn the flow of what the word is really saying. And you see the picture in the book. Well, little Addie was trying to pronounce fill, F-I-L-L, and there was a beach scene, and the little boy was filling the bucket with sand. And it is so adorable, it's so powerful spiritually. When I walked in, and little Addie was going through her exercises of learning how to read with her grandmother, Shirley. But God trains us by degrees. Shirley is teaching Addie how to read. And Addie was in their office there with Shirley when I walked in, and I was just being real quiet, and I heard her in there. And she was trying to pronounce F-I-L-L. And she is really picking up on it quickly. It's just amazing. But she's going. And she didn't stop when I walked in. I thought she would be distracted, but I was trying not to distract her because I really wanted to hear this because it's just tremendous spiritual implications to me. And I can see the Lord looking down on us. We're trying to get it, and we're doing it. We're messing up, and He's just there rooting us on to get it, you know. And so here she is. She's going, L. And she's going, L. Because she sees the L's, and she's trying to get the L's in there. L. And so she is surely just coaching her on, and say the first one, ill. Fill. Oh, fill. He's filling the bucket, you know. And it's just, oh, I was just so, it just crushes my heart to see that. And I remember sitting down with my own children. I remember one particular time, I think it was Matt the Rat with Sundana, and he was in there. And the girls were always quicker, just reading before him, and here he comes. And he's reading, and that's so precious, and little chubby legs and cheek and everything, and he's sitting there and he's reading Matt the Rat. And I'm just, and now it's my granddaughter, you know, over 30 years later, that she is, look, it's just, God sees us the same way, y'all. God is wanting us to get what we haven't got. And He trains us by degrees. And sometimes He's got to take us out to the woodshed and give us a licking until we learn in love, not in anger, but disciplined us in love, takes us out to the woodshed. He disciplines us and we have tears and it breaks your heart. Have you ever heard a parent say, it's breaking my heart more than it is yours? You're going, yeah, right, you know. I'm the one feeling it, you know. But it does. It really does. It hurts a parent to discipline a child, especially when you got some spanking going on or whatever. And they feel it, but you feel it too. You really do. But you know that it will be to their good, not their detriment, if you do. It'll be to their detriment if you don't. And so it's just awesome to see the training of God by degrees. He does that. How many of you are going through some degrees right now? How many of you are grateful to the Lord for doing the impossible yesterday, but right now you're kind of going through some things and you got that little fear, doubt, and unbelief going on thing about today? That was yesterday. He did it. He came through. He always has come. He never has failed you, but this is a new situation. And he wants us to get it. Bottom line, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to have faith in him regardless of the circumstances. Regardless. And so he trains us, each one of us, unique to our personalities, who we are, what we need to know, what we need to learn. And there's no better teacher than our great teacher, Jesus Christ. There's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit that he gave us who believe and trust in him and accept him as Lord and Savior to reside within these temples. The Holy Spirit, the paraclete of God, come along to help us, to guide us, to tutor us, to nurture us. The Holy Spirit of God will teach us the things of God. And so, how many of you know it's a process? You don't learn it overnight. And you can't put on someone that's impossible for them to learn something that they're not ready for. Read this. And it would be foolish to even say that. God knows it's foolish to put something on us that we're not capable of doing. But he does know what we are capable of doing. He does know that. There's many things that Addie knows is right and wrong, but she sometimes chooses to do wrong rather than right. And so if you don't back it up, then it becomes a joke. So God is, he's out to teach us and train us by degrees, and he wants us to get those sea legs so that we can be able to stand in rocky and turbulent circumstances and be able to function. And so how many of you know what sea legs are? Ted? Those who have been in the Navy certainly know what sea legs are and are on ships. I'm not really a mariner. I haven't really been out at sea very much at all. When I go out the intercoastal causeway, I don't want to venture out too far unless I've got something safe to venture out in. But anyhow, I do know that sea legs are legs of those who mariners who've been out there a while, and whether they're fishermen or whether they're in the military or whatever, they kind of go with the rock. They go with the flow, and they eat that way, and they move that way. But someone who does not have the training of sea legs and get on a ship out there and flop all around the place and not be very good at negotiating the deck. So I want to share something with you today that is connected. I mean, there's two things here connected. And in Matthew chapter 14, they are connected. And I want to connect these two situations because Jesus was trying to get a lesson in the first one. And he discovered that they didn't get it all in the second lesson in this degree training. But in Matthew chapter 14, go on down to verse 13. Jesus, go down to 13, Matthew 14, verse 13. Jesus had just heard, it says, when he heard what? It said he just heard about John the Baptist being beheaded. Wow. You do know that John and Jesus knew each other even when they were in the womb. You know, it's just incredible. He felt that. Jesus heard that John was beheaded. When he heard this, he withdrew from there into a boat in a lonely place by himself. And when the multitude heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. But anyhow, I just wanted to say that Jesus really felt that about John, but he also knew where their reunion was going to be, and he was going to see him again forever, eternally, that's for sure. But Jesus was all man on this earth, but he was all God-man and without sin. But he had to walk this earth among us, incredible creatures at times, how vicious we can be. He walked among us to save us as one of us, as God-man. And he felt things, of course, and he had many tribulations and trials that he went through. But here it is. He goes ashore and all these people are there. He goes ashore right after all this. I don't know how much time he spent out in the boat after this happened with John the Baptist. But he went ashore and all the multitudes were there. And they're all gathered there on the shore after he came out from the his journey there on the water in the boat. He saw a great multitude in verse 14 there, and he felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. I mean, this is before a great miracle is getting ready to take place. He's already doing many miracles. He healed their sick. Back there, diseases were rampant, all kinds of things going on with these people, dysentery and leprosy and cancers and eyesight and blindness and crippled, and people broke a leg years ago, but they didn't have anything to, and he's on crutches, and some people can't walk at all, and limbs are missing. And here he is before this great miracle that's getting ready to take place. He's healing the sick in verse 15. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "The place is desolate, and the time is already past to send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Well, you all know, you're familiar with this. We're getting ready to talk about feeding a lot of people here with basically nothing except what? The power, the miraculous power of God manifesting can feed anybody, anytime, no matter how many, no matter how many. But I just want to make it, draw it to our attention right here. We're dealing with a crowd of people, and it says right here, it tells us the amount of people that we're dealing with that didn't have anything to eat. And so in verse 16, "But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.'" What was he saying to them? He's talking about training by degrees. What is he saying to these people, his disciples right here? They don't need to go away. He says, "You give them something to eat." That would be like what? It'd be like a joke, right? How many of you have been in a situation you don't know what to do, and the Lord says, "You do something about it. You give them something. You say something. You react by listening to me, and I will give you what to do." Now, I believe if they would look to the Lord, they would have had something to give them. But they just discounted it completely. How many of you discount the miraculous ways of God in a given situation, and you just cut it out immediately, and you say, "I don't know how this is going to be done. I mean, there's no way. There's no way you asking us to give them something to eat, it's not going to happen." And so we just discount it. And so we don't want to have faith about that, do we? We don't want to even go there. And so that's what he wanted them to do. So he shows them. He's going to train them how to do it. And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Well, bring them here to me." And ordering the multitude to recline on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitudes. He gave to them, they gave to the multitudes. God gives to Drew, Drew gives to whomsoever. God gives to Mark, Mark gives to whomsoever. God gives to Lisa, then Lisa gives, but Lisa doesn't have anything unless God gives it first. Don't talk about your wisdom. Don't talk about your expertise. Talk about God's expertise in you and God's wisdom in you. It wasn't Solomon's wisdom. It was wisdom of God in him. So I'd never look at it as Solomon's wisdom. It was God's wisdom in him. People came all around the world just to hear the wisdom of God flowing through him. God's wisdom, not his. If it's his wisdom, then you don't need God. And so how many of you are learning that to look to the Lord first in order to do what you're about to do or need to do or about to pray or how to pray. And where do we go from here? I don't know, Lord. How many of you are learning to trust God more so? Because that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to trust Him and not our own imaginations or our own figment of our imaginations. That's a process. And so He's teaching them right here. Bring them to Me. He's breaking the bread. He's giving it to them and they're giving to the people. And ordering the multitude to recline on the grass, He took the loaves, He broke them, He gave it to them, they gave it to them. In verse 20, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over, the broken pieces, and 12 baskets full were left over. And there were about 5,000 men who ate, aside from women and children, so it wasn't 5,000 people. A lot of times we hear He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He fed 5,000 men, besides the women and children, so we're talking about over 10,000 people, at least. How many whales would it take to feed that many people? Or maybe one whale would feed that, but not 2 fish and 5 loaves. So it had to be a miracle. It was obvious that it's a miracle. And so this is what went on. It's impossible. How many of you are facing impossible situations at times, or you think it's impossible? I would think that's a pretty close call. I mean, if your mind kicked in, you would say, how am I going to get around wreck, flying debris? I'm not in a Humvee. I'm in a little Prius. I don't think you're in a great big 68 Cadillac with a solid steel bumper in the front and all these type of things and pointy fingers, fenders. You were just there where you were. But we're going to give the credit to God.
Oh, amen.
For getting through there. What an awesome God we serve. Close call on an accident, Mary, on his trip. Very close call. Several wrecks, he went in between them all. 5,000? No, more like over 10,000 people. I just can't comprehend it. Can you imagine 10,000 people and you're in the back? All 10,000 could be up front. What were the people in the back thinking? How's he doing this? I don't know, but here comes the bread, and I heard there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. And pass it back, Jack. Pass it on, Bob. Pass it on, Mary. Pass it on. And it says they ate till they were content. They could have all they wanted. 12 baskets left over. It's just, what I want to say about this is they witnessed this and they wrote it for you and I to read and to be edified by today. Now, I just have to break from this just a second. You don't have to turn to there, but I want to share something with you, how important it is to understand what we're reading right now. In 1 John, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation, let me read this, how important it is what we're doing right now. In John chapter 1, we're reading an eyewitness account of people being fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish, a group of people over 10,000. We're reading their witness. It's true. Now watch this. In 1 John 1, verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and we beheld with our hands. They're saying to us today, I handled the bread that he gave out that was impossible. It wasn't there, and I was among 10,000 people. And I'm writing this today to you that you would believe and have faith that God can do anything. There were people everywhere. Over 10,000 people, and the bread just kept coming. I don't know. He just broke it and he gave it and they passed it around. We have heard. We have seen. It says we have handled concerning the word of life, which is capital W, word of life, Jesus. And it says, and the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. How can you believe this? These witnesses were witnesses of integrity that witnessed it with their own eyes and wrote what they witnessed. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you, Mark, all of us here today, also may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Wow. What you are doing when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you're sharing hope to a world that has not come into the light and that can see and understand such as you do when you come to Jesus Christ. Because you're a witness to the fact that I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Man, that's hope. And it's faith to go out and proclaim that because you believe it's true. Wow. These people, if you want to go back and visit this scene, listen to what is being written. It's true. They're writing what they saw. And now you, the Lord is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, believe it, eat it, ruminate, digest it, and live it, and be edified by it. And by trusting God, you know that Kathy is going to be okay as we pray and for God to get a hold of her and keep her heart before the Lord, because the big changes take place when you go through perilous times. All is well in my Father's house. All is well with Christy as we look to the Lord. Changes taking place. Do you know what Christy's doing? I understood. Christy's reading DMR and she's sharing parts of it with three or four girls over there in jail as lessons. See how God uses things? You say God encourages you to write the book DMR, and the DMR 5, right? That's the rest. He encourages you to do that. You do it, you write it, and you finish it. And that part is complete. What do I do now? Well, that's when we pray and ask God, what happens now? How does it happen? When does it happen? Who does it happen with? But as far as what God shows, you do, and that's your hands are clean. And now it's in the hands like a letter. It's like a letter, just like this letter being written to us. It's a letter. You put it in someone's hands. This is put in someone's hands. What are you going to do with this letter? What are you going to do with this account about Jesus feeding over 10,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2? What are you going to do with that account? You're going to read it. You're going to be encouraged by it. You're going to be edified by it. You're going to know it's true because the witness is true. Now, this is just one thing out of everything that's been written. And the Bible even says that all the books in the world cannot contain the things that Jesus said and did. And so here we are, we have a letter that is being used, inspired by God, by someone else in jail, and teaching other girls and other women the truths that are in this book. It's powerful. Things are taking place. Lives are being changed. And I pray that God will continue to pierce with His light the darkness everywhere, including our own lives. He did all this for a reason. He taught them. He was already performing miracles. This was another miracle. He was already doing miracles. He's healing the sick and the lame. And here's another miracle. How are we going to feed all these people? I'll show you. Jesus, what did Jesus do when he had the bread? What did he do? He looked up to heaven and he prayed. God in the flesh, God in heaven, God on earth, God man, Jesus Christ, hearing from His Father, obeying His Father, instructed by His Father in obedience. He prays, He breaks the bread, and manifests this great miracle. Now, as far as training by degrees, like I was sharing with you about Addie, training by degrees, training by degrees, training, training, training. You're never going to get out of the training, never going to get out of class, not with the Lord. He sends them out to sea. And in the message today, and you're taking homes, He's going to make sure they get training in the discipline of having sea legs. He's going to train them as they are being battered. How many of you feel you've been battered to some degree in your life with trials? How many of you have gone through some wavy times recently with storms in your life? And the Lord is training you to be able to stand in the storm. He's developing sea legs. He's developing spiritual sea legs so you don't fall down and just destroy yourself because you're not stabilized. He wants to stabilize us. And He has a way of doing that. He sends them out to sea. He compels them. He makes them go out to sea. I'm sure they wanted to stay with Him. Now, you're the miracle maker. You know, I don't go out there. But He makes them go out. He compels them to go out. And they do go out. In verse 22, He made them get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He sent the multitude away. The multitude, in another gospel, they want to make Him king. So He says, nope, I'm going to break this up right away. I'm not going to be an earthly king. I'm a king of a kingdom that is not of this world. But they wanted to make Him king right there. In verse 23, and after He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. Well, He knew, and He knows where you are, and He knows where I am. God knows what's going on in our hearts. He sent them out to see while He went to pray. Not necessarily just prayed for them, but He knew they were going to need intercession. Where's Jesus right now for you and me? You and I, where is Jesus right now? What is He doing? And it says that He ever lives at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. Peter was told that Satan desired to sift him like wheat. And Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. He sends them out in a boat and He goes off to what? To pray for them. Christy goes to serve some time, and we pray, and the Lord intercedes for that soul to be benefited, as well as so many others that we know. But the boat was already many stadia away. It was estimated to be 3 or 4 miles out. It was in the last watch of the night. It was dark, and it says in verse 24, the boat was already many stadia away, 3 or 4 miles. Battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them. That's 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch dark, much as the full moon. Here He comes. And another gospel says that He saw them before He even got there. God knows what's going on. He saw them struggling in their rowing and their cries and their fears. He saw them out there doing this. And He comes to them on the fourth watch, 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, it's pitch dark, and He came to them walking on the sea. And it says, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. This is very significant. When He came to them and He said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Do you remember when Jesus appeared to Paul in the brightness of the day at noon? And the light was brighter than the brightness of the noon brightness. And He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Here He does not say, I am Jesus when He came to them. He knew they were in trouble. Does God know that you are in conflicts within and without at times? He knows it, and He'll come to us if we look to Him, if we invite Him into our boat, so to speak. But here He is. He comes to them, and He doesn't say, I am Jesus. He says, it is I. I think that's significant because when He said to Paul, He says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And He says to them, it is I. Because they knew who He was. He didn't have to say, I'm Jesus. He says, it is I. And they knew it immediately. They recognized immediately when He said, it is I. How many of you know, we were talking earlier about discerning, situations. We need to learn to discern. You need to learn when it's I, like Jesus, or when it's somebody up to no good. You need to discern when it's Jesus or when it's darkness. You need to discern that. You need to pay attention to that. And so he came to them walking on the sea, and he says, it is I. Do you ever think about, was the sea congealed? Was the sea somehow made so firm that he can just walk on it? Or was he walking on the liquid water and yet not, no gravity was there? He was buoyant. And how did he do it? And then if the waves were like this, was he up on top? Did he go down? Did he's on top? Did he go down? And how did they see him? It says they saw him walking on the water. How did they see him if it's pitch dark? Was there something on him that was manifesting, like the Mount of Transfiguration? When they saw him, he was just, there was a glow there. Of Elijah and Moses were there, and James and Peter and John were there, and they saw him, and yet there was a transfiguration taking place. How did they see him? I don't know. It doesn't say right here, but they saw him, and it was the darkest of night. And if there was a full moon, it would still have to be pretty dark, because if there's storms, there's clouds, and clouds block the moon. So how could they see someone? How many of you realize in the Coast Guard, you're out trying to see a body in the water, even though they got a buoyant thing around them? How are you going to see thousands and millions of acres of water? You're going to spot down, oh yeah, there he is right there. They knew somehow it happened. Jesus miraculously manifested himself to them, and he came to them, and they were struggling, and they were in trouble. And it's just so powerful here what he's after. What he's after. And let's look at this. And it says, take courage, it is I. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Did you ever think about that? I mean, if it's you, bid me come. He didn't say, if it's you, I'm coming. Big difference. If it's you, I'm out of here. Out of the safety of my boat, I'm coming. If it's you, he said, if it's you, invite me to come. So how many of you are ready to do something for the Lord? You're just ready to run, but you're not asking him to invite you to show you how to do this. And sometimes you may have done it, and you get the sinking feeling like, I'm not being held up here. This is my flesh, not the Lord. If the Lord's in it, he's going to hold you up. If the Lord's in it, you're not going under. If the Lord's in it, you're going to be above the circumstances, not below them. And sometimes there can be complex situations in families with questions from children about their lives and what do we do and how do we do it and the classes and the education part of it and the relationships and families. When you took her, you didn't take me, you took him, you didn't take the, it's just a complex situation that require the wisdom of the Lord. But if you invite the Lord into the conversation and how to do this and how to act as a parent, it's a lot easier. And one time I think I've shared this with you, my daughter was gone and we didn't know where she was. The policeman shows up with her purse at our front driveway over here in Edison. And so if I would have invited the Lord right then, I mean, really, Lord, show me here, because my heart is just about ready to explode. He came up and he said, does this belong to your daughter? Because he saw her license in there and said, this is the address, this is your daughter. I said, yeah. I didn't know what he was going to say after that. I mean, where's your mind going to go? Or are you going to invite the Lord in this situation that seems so devastating? Your mind could just go crazy. Is she alive? Why are you bringing me her purse and not her person? Why are you bringing my daughter's purse? Where is my daughter? And you could just go mad if you don't invite the Lord right there, right now. So sometimes we want to do things. We want to bust out and do things and be protective or whatever and do these things for God or whatever and discover what needs to be discovered, but we can't do it without Him. And how many of you are learning to be more patient to discover what God has rather than what you think needs to be done or should be done? Wow. So Peter says, if it's you, then invite me, because I'm going to get out of my safety and I'll come if you invite me. The Lord invites him. Peter goes and Peter walks on the water. How many of you felt that sometimes it's like you're walking on water through circumstances? As long as you got your eyes on Jesus, the waves, he must have been wet and splashing. He hasn't calmed them yet. They're all over the place, and yet he's going toward Jesus because all he's got is Jesus on his mind. He's passionate about Jesus. Peter, something else, whacking the guard's ear off when they come after Jesus later on, and I'll die with you, I'll go to prison with you, and Jesus says that, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. But Peter was passionate, man. He was wanting to do things. But he loved the Lord, and the Lord knew that. So here he comes walking on the water with Jesus, and he's strong. We could be singing Rock of Ages on a Sunday morning. What about tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 in the afternoon? Because blah, 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 blah is going to happen. And where are you then? Well, I forgot about that. Jesus locked on to Peter locked on to Jesus, and he was able to walk on the water until what? Until he began to look around at the tormenting locusts, the tormenting foxes that come in and eat away the faith that God wants us to have. Real world situation. And when it's real, that's when we need to really look to Jesus. Really look to Him. No religion. That ain't going to do it. It's looking to Jesus. Ring, ring. You never know with the phone what's going to happen there. Or somebody knocking on your door. Or the mailman making a delivery. Or what? Right now, in this second, right now, if we're really in a relationship with Jesus Christ, right now, this moment, tick, tick, what if we were to hear right now, or even to feel some type of a seismic vibration, that Yellowstone National Park became a mega, mega volcanic eruption that did happen several thousand years ago. The whole place blew up. That's why it's all that way. It's going to happen, they said again. The geysers, Old Faithful, that's all because of... Look how... This is insane how timely Old Faithful is. You sit there and watch it. But that's all magma. Underneath all that, there's tremendous heat and stuff going on all around this world, and the volcanic activity in Mexico and all around the place, all around the world. But what would happen to you right now if that happened and the sky became around the world? It will affect weather. The sky becomes dark. The weather gets colder. The sun is lacking its shining. And here we are learning about Peter keeping his eyes on Jesus, staying above the waters, not below. Would we still be above if some news like that happened to us? Or a tsunami in just about 10 minutes is going to hit Tampa Bay and wipe out everything possibly you can think of downtown. Our infrastructure, our police department, everything that you can think, all wiped out. And thousands of people not being able to go to work. Ah, brother, did you hear what happened? Yeah, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I thought God was with us. You're going to find out, and I'm going to find out. It may not be a tsunami downtown. It may be a tsunami in your personal life. Something else happening. There's been people that I know have been employed for 33 years at a certain place, and that's basically all they know since they were 20-something years old, and bam, they've been let go. And not only that, their best friend, bam, been let go. And not only that, all the way down the line, bam, 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 they're all being let go to make the corporate board happy, to make this profit thing look better. They're all gone. And they're getting severance pay and they're getting things, some of them. Some of them saying goodbye and that's it. Happy trails. They don't know what to do. Some of them become roof jumpers. Can't handle it. Gone. That's a tsunami to them. He said, well, Brother Mark said something about a tsunami downtown. Man, you understand what I'm saying. Tsunamis can be happening. Micro tsunamis, macro tsunamis, any kind of tsunamis. But one thing for sure, certain things are going to take place in this world that are going to require, just like right now, faith in the living God through Jesus Christ. And if you don't have faith in God through Jesus Christ, you are very susceptible to going underneath and not rising again. You got to lock on to Jesus, people, and it's no religion whatsoever. There's not religion involved here whatsoever. It's a faith in Jesus Christ that's going to keep us. And take care of all of our children, too. You're going to take care of His family. We don't have to worry. And one thing that we need to get to here before we close is so important. If Peter walked on the water, it's amazing. Can you imagine a man walking on water? I've never heard of it ever since. Maybe there have been some testimonies. I've heard of people say things, I think, years ago about being in Africa and somebody had to get from point to point and whatever, and they went across the water. I don't know. I wasn't there. But this, I know, is true. This is true. These guys are for real. They gave their lives for it. All of them were martyred. All except John. He was left in the Isle of Patmos to write Revelation. And so here we go. Jesus comes to them. Jesus is going to come to you. In verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter goes. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And the moment that you and I cry, Lord, I'm not where I thought I was. I got my eyes off of you. Save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched, put forth his hand and took hold of him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. And another gospel says, also when Jesus got into the boat, they were immediately on the shore of where they were going. What a mighty God we serve. I've read this before many times. I'll read it again. How many of you have read things like this and said, well, I've read it, I got it all down, and you just go ahead and tear it out. You don't need to read it anymore. And then your Bible will be down to basically you got it all down. You just have a leather cover. You just got it all down. We need to stay humble. We need to stay humble before the Lord, thirsty and hungry for Him. God, if that's you, bid me come, and I'm going to do it if it's you. There's many things, Nicole, that way. I just want to know if it's the Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I just want to know it's you. Shirley says, what could I pray for you? She said this for many years. She said it again the other day. What could I pray for you? I said, I want to hear God's voice. I just want to hear God's voice. I want to know that it's Him. I've got to know that it's Him. I must know that it's Him. Because Satan comes as an angel of light. And he will give you a rock for a fish. Jesus won't, but he will. He'll dangle something out there for you to get, and when you grab it, he'll trick you. A fish will turn into a rock, and he'll say, sucker, I got you again, didn't I? And that's how he works. What I'm feeling today for us and for the church on this earth, I'm really feeling that we're going through a lot of things, and I know personally a lot of things have been going on. And I know beyond who's here today in this audience, the audience is listening, there's a lot going on. And the answer, the solution, is so simple. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your eyes on Him. And all will be well if you do that. It's so simple. And that's why I put in here somebody by the name of Shambach said, and it's in here, R.W. Shambach, he passed away in January. I don't know if it's January this year or a year before. R.W. Shambach, for more than five decades, boldly declared, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. that is so simple, so powerful. But if Peter can do that, then he can walk on water. If you can do that, then you can walk above the waves and the storms in your life that's battering your boat. We got to come out of our security. He came out of that boat, that's everything he knew, to who knows how deep it was, where they were, and he walked on Jesus as he looked to him. Wow. Boy, I tell you, all the angels in heaven above rejoice when there's a soul saved. All the angels in heaven above rejoice when we do the will of God, when we follow him and follow hard after him. What a mighty God we serve. I want to read this again because I've read it before in the past. It's very powerful. Jesus, take the wheel. Carrie Underwood. She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve, and I've done this, literally done this, almost on Christmas Eve, myself personally, going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go, and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind, and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of ice, of glass. She saw both her lies flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, cause I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. I was still getting colder when she made it to the shoulder and the car came to a stop. She cried when she saw the baby in the back seat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So from now on, tonight, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, I'm letting go, so give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. From this road I'm on, Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, take it. Take it from me. Wow. I don't want to be the driver anymore. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is not my co-pilot. He is the pilot. Oh, Jesus, the co-pilot, you know. No, Jesus is the pilot. How many of you want Jesus to take the wheel now, this afternoon, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day? How many of you know you're not perfect and you may not be completely successful in doing the will of God? Imperfect, but we serve a perfect God. Lord, forgive me. And he gets you right back on track, and you get right back on the road with him. That's how we live it. One day at a time, looking to Jesus, and Jesus training us by degrees to do it his way. By degrees. Ted, I had pistols on the farm. We had a couple, and I would shoot them, but no instruction. You just go out and you start shooting, you know, and 410, it was given to me for my first squirrel gun, and a 22 rifle, and then on to 12 gauge, 16 gauge, and 20 gauge, and guns. But, you know, we grew up that way. They're all in the corner, stacked in the corner, not in a safe. Everybody's guns were always stacked in the corner. You go to their house, the guns are stacked in the corner. You grab a gun, you go do what you got to do with that gun, whatever. But it's been a long time, and you took me to the range, and I was shooting, and you were instructing me. And I need to stay humble to learn from a professional instructor a better way. And I hope you didn't pick it up in me. And I said, well, man, what are you talking about? I'm a little older than you. I've shot a lot of guns all my life. You know, I don't have a patch on me, but get out of the way. See, that's not humble. The Lord has a better way. And he will teach us to shoot straight. And be careful, guys, because them women come up there and stay humble. They'll outshoot you. But guys have a tendency to go ahead and shoot and then come up and draw a circle around it and say, look, bullseye. You know, you can shoot bullseye every time that way. Shoot all over the place and draw a circle around it. But, Ted, I thank God for you. You're a good instructor. And I felt humbled. And I went in there and did whatever everything you told me to do. And I was outshot by Shirley. She had a better pattern than me. And so I wasn't offended with that either. But anyhow, it's God has a better way for us to hit our target. You got to listen to the instructor. You got to be trained by levels, by degrees. If you stay that way, you'll become a greater, more dependable child of God who has sea legs that have been trained to negotiate troubled times and not cocky and proud and go off on your own and pride goes before a fall. For those of you who may be listening today, may God bless you on the internet as well as those that are here today. But it's a lesson in Jesus training us by degrees, getting our sea legs to trust Him no matter what, because this world and the things in this world are is getting interesting out there. We need to trust God as our great Lord and Savior to live this life His way. God bless you.